Welcome to the Advisory Accelerator Podcast, designed to help CPAs who serve clients interested in non-traditional services. If you're a public accountant looking to drive more value into existing client relationships, then tune in for tips on accelerating your advisory service offerings. Now, here's your host, Jeff Paulo.
Well, hello again, everybody. This is Jeff Paulo, and I am the president of the Engineered Advisory family of companies and your host for the Advisory Accelerator podcast, a show that works to help CPAs become more advisory-minded in their practices. On today's show, I'm happy to welcome Quinn Ricker, the CEO of Jet Access Aviation, who will help us navigate the complex world of charter aviation and how to identify when purchasing a private jet might be appropriate for one of your clients. I'm really looking forward to this one. So let's jump right in. Quinn, welcome to the Advisory Accelerator podcast.
Jeff, it's fantastic to be here. Thanks for having me.
You bet. I've been looking forward to this one. There is such a cachet around the ability to travel private. And whether that's with my family or with my business, my guess is the CPAs who are tuning into today's episode are looking for to learning more about what that whole world is like. So maybe let's start by you just giving a little bit of a background of the history of your company, your role, and then we can dive into the use cases for where charter aviation might make sense.
Sure, I'd be happy to. It is a, like you alluded to, it is a very interesting, very fascinating business, and something I'd be interested in for quite a while. How I got into private aviation was, it was about 8 years ago, and that's a journey and a story we'll get to in a minute. I'll tell you a little bit about what we have today. Jet Access is headquartered in Canada, and we are the first national scale operator to have all five business aviation verticals. So we do flight training, charter and management, sales and acquisition, maintenance, and FBOs. Got about 400 employees spread all throughout the country, mostly in Indianapolis, West Palm, Dallas, and Nashville. And we're really proud of what we're doing.
Now, that's interesting in terms of the five verticals. I'm being educated right away. Go through those again and talk a little bit more about each one of those specifically so our listeners understand exactly what you bring to the table, because this sounds like a one-stop shop.
That is exactly what we've tried to design and how we looked at the industry back when I got into the industry in 2019. And I've been on the periphery of it for a few years before that. But how we looked at the business is it's highly fragmented. Typically, the business aviation enterprises, they are a charter company and maybe a maintenance shop. They are an FBO, maybe a flight school. They are a sales and acquisitions company and maybe a charter company. They may just do one of those. At most, you maybe see three or four, but one of them may be a very small piece of the business. We've tried to have all five of those. So it's the flight school side, culturally extremely important. Everyone knows that there is a shortage in pilots. And I'm proud to report Jet Access has no shortage in pilots. We generate our future pipeline of highly trained, highly skilled individuals out of our flight school. We take to the back. So that's why our flight school, we prepare people to fly for American, United, Delta, or in business aviation. And we found that young people today, they really enjoy the lifestyle that private aviation has to offer. Plus, the pay is pretty interesting when you're looking at, you know, the regionals and even some of the big companies. So that's the flight school side. The FBO side, that is your gas stations or planes, and it's your hangars as well. It's your storage. That is a very important part of the business because you got to have a home for your plane. You need to make sure it's hangared competitively. And one of the biggest expenses in operating a plane is actually the fuel. So we combine that together to deliver that side of the value proposition. Maintenance, these planes need, they have scheduled maintenance, whether that be dated or by the hours, these planes are always needing maintenance. And it can be a very expensive component of the operating budget of a plane if it's not managed well. So we provide that in-house. And then we have the sales and acquisition side. We're basically a realtor for jets. And each individual who's interested in buying a jet, they have different missions. They may want to go from, you know, New York to Florida, and that is their main trip. Maybe they don't go beyond 4 hours except for one time a year. Maybe they don't go beyond 2 hours. Maybe they're flying with two passengers usually, or six, or eight, or 10. So each, there is no one-size-fits-all plane to optimize the financial return or the cost mitigation of it. Everybody has a little bit different type of plane that they probably need. So we advise on buying and selling those and getting them in the right asset for them, whether it be, you know, the budget, the number of passengers, the distance of trip. And then the final one is the charter and management side. And that is, we manage planes for individuals. Maybe they don't want to, you know, they just want to fly themselves and they're not looking to charter. That's great. That's called Part 91. And we'll find them pilots, find them hangars, find them the best fuel prices, whether that be our FBOs or when they're out on the road. And having a professional set of eyes, whether you just fly the plane yourself or you decide to charter it to mitigate costs, kind of like Airbnb being your home. We in a way Airbnb your plane. And that can be a very powerful cost mitigation formula for owning an aircraft, but you do have to have the right pilots. You have to have the right safety standards. Not all pilots are meant to fly certain planes. We vet those pilots and make sure they're aligned with what the owner's interests are and how they want the aircraft to perform. So nobody's put all that together. And when you put that all together the right way, that should be the best turnkey value proposition in the industry. We consider ourselves almost in a way like a Fidelity Mutual Funds or a Vanguard or a JP Morgan, to where we're a fiduciary. And we're not managing cash. We're managing very operationally intensive assets, very high value assets. And we put all five of these business aviation verticals together to be able to do that the best way possible.
You know, Quinn, it's interesting because I think the CPAs that are listening to this, you know, are probably furiously taking notes at this point because it is such an unknown. But the tax treatment right now is very favorable for somebody that may want to get into charter aviation. And I know the one thing that, you know, my colleague Jerry Winkleman, who I know you work very closely with, who leads our program here at Engineered Advisory, the first question he is always asking is, what is the mission for a particular client? And so for my CPAs that are tuning in, I think that's the starting point. And we can certainly assist you with what are the questions that you need to ask in order to ascertain this information. But what's the profile? Is this a plane that's going to be used on a weekly basis to support business operations? Is it a plane that would like to be used two or three times a year by the family for vacation purposes and then put into a charter fleet when it's not being used personally? And for 10 different clients, you probably have 10 unique and different mission profiles that are all going to inform which aircraft, what size, what location, and what have you. And I think the biggest thing that is a barrier to us to bring something like this forward to our clients is knowing what we don't know. And clearly, the CPAs that are listening here are not experts in jet aviation. But Quinn, what I'm hearing is that's okay because you've got all the different facets covered. It's not just, hey, here's a plane. I think I want to go buy it. Now I need to figure out pilots. I need to figure out maintenance. I got to figure out storage and fuel. It's come to us and let us manage your entire aviation ecosystem and do that in a way that complements and resonates your particular mission. Is that right?
That is spot on. In partnering with, you know, our enterprises together, we can deliver the best results for the customers who are interested in flying in a business jet. It is one of the beautiful spices of life. It is expensive. Done right, there can be lots of cost mitigation and make that less expensive. A number of people came into the industry many years ago and said, you know, I buy this jet and I bet I can make a little bit of money with it. That's not the way we like to look at it. We like to look at what we've put together, asking the right questions. We can do this as cost effectively as possible because of what all that we've put together.
So let's dig into a certain profile. Let's say, you know, I'm the owner of a mid-sized business. I'm traveling, you know, maybe 4 or 5 times a year personally with family. I try to do that in conjunction with business to be as tax efficient as I can. But I'm not a person that's going to be flying every week. Maybe I'm flying every other month. I know you work closely with the folks over at the Aviation Law Group, and I know how important it is to get all this set up appropriately. But there are some significant tax benefits to purchasing a jet in today's environment. I think this year it's up to 80% can be written off in the correct use profile. And if you're talking jets that are somewhere between or starting at, say, $2 million and up, you know, clearly just from a tax savings standpoint, that can be significant. But what I'm hearing you saying, Quinn, is that if I'm using the jet, and my understanding is that any given jet on average has between 400 and 500 hours a year that it can be kind of in service. Let's say I'm going to use 20% of that personally. So I'm taking, you know, 100 out of the 500 hours. If I'm turning around and chartering the plane for the remaining 400 hours, that's a way for me to reduce the cost of ownership apart from the tax benefits that I realize when I purchase the plane. And my sense is my goal is to try to make that as efficient as possible. And I can't predict when we've got a bird strike and I have to replace the windshield. And, you know, I'm sure some months are flush and some months are lean, but owning a jet obviously is not inexpensive, but it sounds like there's some ways where I can mitigate that if I use the charter program to my advantage.
Exactly. That is exactly why owners of business jets or potential owners of business jets are interested in the charter side of the business, because it is a cost mitigation formula. A plane should run 400 or 500 hours a year. They actually don't perform quite as well if they're just ran 50, 80, 100, 120 hours. These assets need to be exercised, and then they become more rateable. So not only does the charter side of it spread out your fixed costs over a larger number of hours, and there is some revenue generation on those hours that you charter to offset those fixed costs, it handles both benefits of that. So you spread out the fixed costs over more hours, generate revenue, and you exercise the asset so the asset can be healthier. And that's one of the things that probably not a lot of people talk about. But, you know, we bought planes for owners in the past, and, you know, they were advised against certain planes sometimes because they haven't been exercised enough. But we know that it's going to take 6 to 9 months. If somebody goes out there and just says, I want that plane, I'm going to buy that, and it hasn't been used much, it's going to take a little while for that plane to get rateable again. It is so important. The initial stage is finding the plane that will fit the mission for the right price point, but also the pedigree of the plane is extremely important in making the best decision for somebody who is new to private aviation, or even somebody who's been in for quite a while. Really understanding the pedigree, it's so important.
And see, right off the bat, Quinn, I think you're demonstrating the expertise that you bring to the table, because that's completely counterintuitive to me. I would think the longer the plane sits in the hangar, the longer I'm preserving kind of its usable life. And what you're saying is that's not the case. I like the terminology that you chose, is that the asset needs to be exercised. So planes that fly more frequently sound like they're in better repair, better performance as a result of that use, as opposed to a plane that's maybe, you know, just sitting in the hangar months at a time.
That is exactly right. Planes do not like to sit. They do not behave well if they sit. You know, they become, you know, not rateable, and you become, you know, very expensive on maintenance if they're not exercised.
So one of the things that our CPAs are faced with, and they have a huge compliance burden just to keep up with the ever-changing tax code, and they're all busy. Nobody's got a bunch of non-billable hours sitting around that they can't figure out what they're going to do with. But the clients are demanding that they bring more and more intricate solutions to the table, because the clients know how complex the tax code is. And what they're doing is saying, look, apply that against my specific situation. And so let's take a hypothetical. I've got somebody that maybe has sold their business or has had some kind of a liquidity event. Maybe it's a signing bonus or, you know, something like that. But I've got a windfall that has occurred, and I'm going to have a big tax liability associated with that. What I'm hearing is that right now exploring a jet might be attractive if I was willing to limit my personal use to allow enough charter activity to kind of help defray some of the costs involved with owning that jet, but also take advantage of that 80% write-off, assuming that I've structured the entity correctly to be able to maximize that. That's an incredible tax planning strategy that if somebody is already flying and wants to maybe upgrade that to private, or flying commercial and wants to upgrade that to private, but isn't finding themselves in an airport on a weekly basis where, hey, I can't necessarily eliminate the cost of ownership, but I can harvest this huge upfront tax benefit and then put the plane back into the fleet and really try to mitigate the cost of owning that aircraft going forward. That sounds like just an exciting proposition to be explored with clients that are in that situation. Would you agree with that?
You're exactly right. And if somebody just wants to fly their plane and they fly enough hours to exercise it, that's fine. They don't necessarily need to charter it. But, you know, a plane can fly, you can fly 500-600 hours a year if you really push it. Then you start running into, hey, are we depreciating this a little too much? You have to do the calculations on that. But it would be difficult to, you'd really have to try if you're somewhat new to business aviation to fly 150 or 200 hours a year. I mean, it's, you know, I have friends who fly privately almost all the time. And some of our owners as well who fly privately quite a bit. And if they're getting in the 200 hour a year mark, that is pretty dang impressive. So let's say they do that. That still leaves another 200-ish or plus hours to be able to cost mitigate on the plane. But it's also, you have to be very careful. Here's another thing that, you know, I think we really try to think through with our owners is, you know, how many pilots do you have? Because that changes the financial output quite a bit. You know, is it two, is it three, is it four, depending on how much you want to charter it, you know, what the charter market is currently like, what it's accepting, what are the financials of that individual plane. And one thing I want to make sure we get to is the fiduciary side and how we're analyzing now the owner's individual financials. We don't just look at our company's financials. We have a team meeting that looks at the individual's tail numbers financials and how they're performing and what we can do to optimize that on a monthly basis. So that's a sign that a lot of the industry doesn't focus on quite as much, that I think is unique to us as well.
So Quinn, go down that path a little bit further, because I know in the conversations we've had leading up to the podcast recording today, you've mentioned quite a bit the values at JAA. So this whole concept of a fiduciary, you know, I think there's a perception that it's a pretty rapid, a lot of hustlers in the marketplace, you know, really got to be careful who you're aligning yourself with. I don't see a lot of people out there describing themselves as fiduciaries. So talk a little bit more about that and talk about the values of the company.
All right, I will do that. And what I will say is a little bit like what you talked about earlier is I was in exactly that position through the mid-teens, really since 2008 on. My parents had started a business in 1979, grew up to a fairly large family business, over 900 employees. And I occasionally traveled. We had a mid-sized to mid-large business, mid-cap business, and we decided to exit in 2018. But when we exited it, I had to figure out what to do with the rest of my life. But we had occasionally flown privately those past few years, and then we ran into a liquidity event. And what I came from was that the previous industry was extremely transparent. There were no barriers to entry. From a customer standpoint, it was a very easy business to figure out what the transfer price was for the product that we were selling. And in this business, it is a massive lack of transparency. And that's not anyone's particular fault. Now, you can take advantage of that the right way, or you take advantage of it the wrong way. We try to do it the right way. But when you have different mechanisms of how revenue is shared, different management fees, different fuel transfer prices, you know, you could get two quotes on a landing gear and, you know, rebuilding your landing gear. One is $68,000. The other one is $212,000. Well, which one is right? Is that guy charging me $60,000, is that the right price, or is he cutting corners? Or is the $212,000 guy, is he fixing it right, or he's just way overcharging me? So all these things are just, it's not easy for the average individual to figure out, you know, all of these different examples and the many more that they have. So it's easy for people to talk in technical speak and gloss over certain things that are very important in the industry, just because it's so many levers, so many moving pieces, such a lack of transparency. And that's why we landed on what our values are within our hearts, I think, every day, and particularly what applies. We've shaped those to what applies to this industry. Number one, and I don't say any of them are more important than the other, except for this one. Safety first. You know, this industry, our company, we have lives in our hands. You know, if companies don't, you know, wire something in the avionics right, you know, these planes can have issues. Our pilots, we want them to get home safe. We want our passengers to get home safe. There is lives in our hands. So, you know, we are Argus Platinum. Wyvern Wingman is Bayo Stage 2. We're one of a very small group of operators to hold the top CD certifications, all of them in the world. And we're really proud of that. Part of what we do is we will fly NetJets or Sentient companies like that. When their planes are too busy, they use us because we meet their same safety standards. Not a lot of companies can do that, but we do that. So I went on long about safety, but it's just so important. You know, looking, you know, when you're looking at an operator to manage an aircraft, safety is so, so important. So safety first. Take care of our people so our people take care of our customers. We think the best way to have a great customer experience is actually to take care of our JetAccess family members first. If we take care of them, provide them the right processes, the right training, the right leadership, the right compensation, if we take care of them and they're happy individuals, that's the best way to deliver customer service. So that's how we approach taking care of our people and ultimately customer service. Relationships matter. So important in this industry. This is not a transactional industry. And especially the way we built our business, it is not transactional. We are, you know, what I feel is we've built a ecosystem. I love that she said ecosystem because we say it all the time. We had built an ecosystem or a platform to where we can advise somebody on, you know, what is the appropriate aircraft to purchase, meeting their specifications. But we have extra initiative to make sure they're in the right asset, like we were talking about earlier, the pedigree that they have, because there's a good chance that, you know, we'll be in the running to operate it. So we don't want to get them into the wrong aircraft that's not going to be, you know, not going to be rateable for them. And if they want to charter it, not rateable for the charter market. You know, so we really have to be very on our game with finding the right asset for them. And there is so many peculiarities and uniqueness to each individual type of plane, and even within the same type, differences in those. So we'll manage that relationship hopefully for, you know, a 5, 10, 15 year or longer time period, because we don't have to, we'll have to buy it for them, we'll have to operate it for them, and we may have to sell it for them someday. So we want to make sure we get them in at a good price point, so when they want to exit, maybe upgrade to their next one, that they're in a strong position when they exit as well. So safety first. Take care of our people so our people take care of the customer. Relationships matter. Next one, do the right thing for the long term. We are not a business that is going to be flipped to private equity. So I found what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. I love the people I'm doing it with. We're going to be doing this 10, 15, 20 years from now. So that leads us to, we think, make better long-term decisions for our relationships. And the last one, I'm a pretty positive guy. We built this into our culture. Maintain positivity. Every business comes into challenges. You can look at that as obstacles, or you can look at that as opportunities. And that's how we put the decision-making lens and energy lens upon our culture and our company, is maintain positivity. And that's our five values.
That's fantastic. Quinn, let me go back to the relationship piece of that. And just one thing that I want to compliment you on, and I'm throwing you a curveball here because I know you don't know that it's coming, but again, our constituents are CPAs, and we've had a number of clients that have done work with you over the past year and a half that we've had a relationship with JetAccess Aviation. And one of the things I hear consistently is how robust your reporting is. I know there's a great platform that you've got, but if I'm one of the CPAs listening to this podcast and I'm hearing you talk about, hey, at what rate are we going to depreciate that? Or when are we going to sell it? Or what's the airframe? Or what's the charter revenue for this month? I understand the anxiety that they're feeling because they're like, how in the world are we going to keep track of all that? And you've got a fantastic system and dashboard that's in place to help your owners literally provide that information to their CPAs, because the owners aren't going to be dealing with it, right? I mean, you're the CPA's best friend in terms of your information technology systems.
Yeah, we'd like to think so. Like how you said that, we'd like to think so. I'm going to give you really quickly the, I don't think I've said it quite this way yet, but somebody says, you know, what is the elevator pitch? I have a major national position in all five business aviation verticals, overlay best-in-class technology, and most importantly, a people-centric culture. So what you're asking specifically about is that technology piece, which we find the industry, you know, frankly, quite a bit behind in technology. You know, we have an Oracle NetSuite platform. It's our enterprise solution. Salesforce is our relationship management. And then when it comes to interacting like what you're talking about with the owners, we have something called MySky. And it is as high level or as detailed as an owner or a CPA wants it to be. You know, everything from all the major maintenance bills, the revenue that comes in, all the way down to the individual receipt for the pilot using Uber or their dinner. Every single bit of that is in MySky. And it is just a plethora of information in a very transparent fashion. And again, that MySky really embodies who we're trying to be. A lot of operators don't go into the detail that we do. We feel like it's the right way to do it, and we provide a best-in-class technology platform to deliver that.
So let's talk a little bit for our listeners then. How do I tap in to the knowledge? How do I pursue whether or not this might be a fit for a particular client? And I get that all the CPAs are busy, but their best clients are looking for strategies. And, you know, this is one that in the right use case should definitely be explored. The first step is to reach out to their contact, either Engineered Tax Services or at the Growth Partnership, to establish contact with our JET program. And the person on our side that kind of leads that effort is Jerry Winkleman. Quinn, I know you and Jerry work very closely together, but Jerry kind of... Yeah, he's great. And he kind of serves as a filter, because the last thing we want is 15 different people calling up and saying, hey, I want to learn more about JETS. And I want to go back to something that I mentioned a little bit earlier, and that's the mission. One of the things that you and Jerry have worked with coming up with is a qualification worksheet that we can go through with the CPA to help them vet their particular client situations. And so, you know, we might be talking to a CPA and they may bring three or four unique client opportunities to us. By going through that qualification worksheet very quickly, we can say, hey, of these four, these two are probably worthy of a conversation, and these two probably don't fit the profile where charter aviation or private aviation makes the most sense for them. And that's important, because in gathering that information up front, we can then come to you, so when it's time to have that initial call, you've got the right players assembled to address that specific mission, that specific client's situation. And so, you know, as we go through that, it's really a process of discovery then at that point to understand, hey, are we correct in terms of this mission profile? If so, here are the considerations that might be in play at different price points, different usage points, you know, where they want to house the jet, how often they want to charter, and all that kind of stuff. And Quinn, I know you guys very quickly kind of come back to them with, okay, here's what something might look like. I guess the thing I've enjoyed is seeing that you don't lead with the plane. You know, a lot of people want to get to, well, what's the plane I'm going to be buying? What do the seats look like? What are the accoutrements? What are the, you know, different luxuries that I'm going to have on board? And the thing that has struck me is that's almost like the fifth thing on the list. Once you've taken time to understand the mission and the profile and the economic constraints and what have you, maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
I think you are so spot on with how you framed up that question and what tends to happen out there. A lot of times, you know, the CPAs, their owners may get ahead of them, like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm doing pretty well. I've got a great business. It's producing some great earnings. I've got some liquidity. And I want to fly private. I flew on my friend's plane and I want to fly private. Man, they had this plane and boy, it just felt great. And they get ahead and start, well, look, that is, my gosh, look, I can get that 10-seat plane that flies from, you know, here to United Kingdom for $5 million. Why, my gosh, I can afford that. That's great. Many times, you know, buying the plane may be the least expensive part of owning the plane. If, you know, done wrong, this can be like a boat. They say the second best day of your life is when you buy the boat. And, you know, the best day tends to be when you sell the boat, because that's...
As a boat owner, I can verify that statement. That is 100% correct.
So we typically ask a lot of questions to get to what, you know, what is, here are a number of options that work. based on the missions, the hours, the passengers, the price points. And it is becoming a lot has changed really in the last couple of years on what planes are recommended and what planes we don't. There is still supply chain issues in the industry. There's tons of parts challenges, engines, depending on what kind of plane you have, the different specifications on the engines. You may, on one type of plane, be able to get an engine. There may be 20 in stock if you have to do an overhaul. And that other plane, there's none available in the world. If you have to have your engine overhauled, your plane's going to be down for 6 months. I mean, so these are things that when we're asking these questions, we're analyzing all of that and trying to come up with, okay, we know that right now, the Hawker 900, or Hawker 850, we can find simulator training times, parts availability is good. Hey, there is some challenges with the windshields, but we've got that mitigated because we got these in stock. So all of these questions that we're asking, and we're constantly monitoring the market because things are shifting and moving, depending on pilot availability and parts availability. We're keeping our finger on the pulse of that to make sure that we deliver the right asset, because it's so sexy and so fun to go online and go to controller.com and see all these planes and think, wow, that's big. That only costs that much. That'd be great. I'd love to do that. It could be typically in this industry, there's a reason why the planes are cheap. The market is smart. But for somebody who is not, involved in the industry, you can get some shiny object, situation and potentially lead down a track that is financially a very bad decision. And that's what we're here to be. We're to be the guide to take them through that. We're to be the fiduciary to have the best outcome for them in this industry.
And once again, just the expertise that you bring to the table is on display there, because, if I'm going to purchase an aircraft, it's not just simply, well, how does that meet my needs, especially if I'm looking to offset the cost of ownership in the charter program. Is this a plane that is highly desired and fits like a glove in an existing charter program, or is it a bit of an albatross where, candidly, it's never going to get the type of work that another plane or airframe might be capable of? And so just so many things to consider as we're getting into this conversation. Let me go down another path with you really quickly before we wrap up. And, outright purchase of a jet and putting it into a charter program may not be the most efficient way for people to fly private. So are there other avenues for somebody that is interested in flying private but may not rise to the level of purchasing their own plane that you can help them with?
Yeah, typically there is some type of life cycle when it comes to, aircraft ownership. Rarely has somebody never flown in a business jet and all of a sudden decides to buy one. Typically, they've flown with some friends. After they've flown with a friend or flown with a company they're associated with, hey, I really like that. I'm doing pretty well. Yeah, I'm just going to do some charter, based from a local operator. Or you might choose one of the large jet card programs from there after you've chartered a few times. Then you move to a fractional program where you may own a percentage of the plane and share that with others. The last step in the life cycle, and many times people skip over, they go from retail charter, they're chartering 100, 150 hours a year. They just say, hey, I'm chartering way too much. I'm just going to buy my own aircraft. I need to find the right operator to work with that with me. But typically, if you're starting to fly 100-ish hours a year and, the balance sheet, the income statement can afford a business jet, that starts to be the place where, like, hey, this may really make some sense. The owner flown hours with the charter cost mitigation, that's typically done right. The way to get you the lowest hourly effective cost when you're flying, which you want to fly privately. Now that has to be done very strategically and with the right operators. But that's typically how to get yourself the lowest operating cost, is you flying and then doing you owning the jet and the cost mitigation of charter.
Got it. Okay. Again, for our CPAs that are listening, if you've got a client and you're interested in just seeing if this might be a fit, the first step is to reach out to your contact either at ETS or at the Growth Partnership. We will arrange for a call between you, your client, if you want to bring them, forward at this point in the process, or it can just be you. And the goal of that call is to start to identify the mission. And we do that by completing a qualification worksheet. Once we've got that done, we can review that with Quinn and his team to figure out which of those candidates are viable for a deeper discussion. And at that point, different representatives from Jet Access can join us on a call to talk with you and your client about what this program might mean for them. Quinn, anything else before we turn everybody loose?
No, I would say, I will say this. There is few spices in life that are better than being able to travel where you want, when you want, and change those plans at any point in time. It is the best way to travel. What we do is, and what we offer our clients is, we're a time machine. And there is no more valuable commodity, we believe, than time, time with our loved ones. So yeah, we're open to any questions, and we're here to be a great fiduciary and guide through this really interesting and really complicated industry.
Quinn, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today. I know you've done a fantastic job for the clients that we've sent over to you, and they just can't say enough about the experience that they've had with Jet Access. So looking forward to continuing the relationship and bringing some more people into the fleet.
Great. Thanks for having me on, Jeff.
And there we have it. Another episode focused on helping our CPA listeners accelerate their firm's advisory practice. The Advisory Accelerator podcast is sponsored by the Engineered Advisory family of companies, Engineered Tax Services, The Growth Partnership, Able CRM, and Inside Public Accounting. Learn more about how we help CPAs accelerate their advisory practices at engineeredadvisory.com. Until next time, this is Jeff Paulo signing off and wishing you nothing but success as you transition your firm from compliance to advisory.